ho, 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 ho! I'm off to another adventure. Let the comforter come and pacify you if you think it'll work. This is Jesus speaking. Lecture 17, The Story of Jesus. Jesus' concluding words could be paraphrased as, I'm off to another adventure, let the comforter come to y'all. What does that mean? Let the comforter come. If you will begin to search inside of yourself, you'll find who you are. Now, who are you? Are you yourself, or are you divine, or are you what? You know. And Jesus was asking everybody to look inside themselves and find out who they were and be who they are. Go and sin no more, he said to people who were having difficulties. And he said, lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help and my light and my life and my world. And what do we do? What do we do? Well, we say, oh, Jesus, let me wear a cross around my neck to remember you. Well, if that's where you want to remember Jesus, no, you deserve to be dead, you know, because people who wear crosses, as lovely as they are, and my mother had a cross given to her several times, and she had them in her desk drawer, but the cross represents the crucifixion. It doesn't represent the resurrection. What we should do is have some sort of an angel popping out of our breast, and that's the resurrection of Jesus, you know. And, of course, that's not too cool either. He got sick and tired of playing the game of nanny and house mother and maid to all his disciples. And he said to his disciples, look, do your thing, do your thing. I've taught you now 3 years, and you should be done with the graduate school. And what have you done? You come back and you say, hey, I can't do it, it doesn't work. I can't do it, it doesn't work. You know, Sylvia says to me, Herb, I can give great talks when I'm not around you, when I'm by myself. And I say, super, well, give it, you know, I'll go away. You know? And you give a great talk. And she went to St. Louis, and she spoke to several groups of people there. And then we went there later after she had been there. And you know what all those people said? They said, where's Sylvia? Where's Sylvia? She was so wonderful. Where's Sylvia? Where's Sylvia? Where's Sylvia? And we said, hey, I'm here now. You know, I'm here. I'm going to give you a different story. But where's Sylvia? You know. And then we went over to Europe, and her relatives converged upon me and said, oh, it was so nice having Sylvia here. It was so wonderful having Sylvia here. It was just like a breath of fresh air. She was just the light and the sunshine. And, you know, this is what Jesus said. He said, look, you disciples, when I'm around, you depend on me. When I'm not around, you go out and you do just great. And I say to Sylvia, Sylvia, give a lecture. Come on, give a talk. Give some seminars with us, you know, cooperate with us. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, I don't want to do it while you're around because then I'll be in competition to you. Hey, you can't be in competition to me. You're yourself. You're your unique self. You're your wonderful self. And you see, this is what Jesus was hanging up with, too. He had to say to the people, look, I've got to go so that the Comforter can come to you. Now, where do you think Jesus went? Where do you think he really went? You think he went off into the allness and the isness and the stuff like that? Or did he just take another journey into another dimension of time and space right here on this planet or who knows what planet? Or maybe he stayed around. Maybe when Judas knocked himself off, Jesus took over Judas's identity and lived as Judas. You know, wouldn't that have been interesting, you know? Or maybe Jesus, when he was resurrected, was he resurrected?
Yes.
Was he maybe he got married to Mary Magdalene and went to France to live there. Maybe he did, you know? I mean, who knows what these things are? I mean, he didn't have to not be on the cross. I mean, he was resurrected, remember? He didn't have to not be on the cross so that he could be alive. He was resurrected. And he could have gone off to France with Mary Magdalene if that was his choice. At that time, you know, my goodness, Mary Magdalene would have really had a winner on her team, wouldn't she? This illumined Jesus Christ. Wow. Wouldn't that be an experience? I wonder if any woman could ever live with such a fabulous being like that. Or any man could live with such a fabulous being like Mary, Mother of God, you know? Can you imagine what Joseph's life was like after Jesus was born? I mean, here she is, the Mother of God. That's what they said. And they were right, weren't they?
Yes, not only.
Huh?
Not only.
That's not the point. They were right.
They were right.
And every mother is a mother of a God. And every mother is a God giving birth to another God.
Exactly.
My goodness sakes, if we looked at it from that point of view, what a different attitude we have. And every father is a Joseph, so to speak. I don't think that's much of a compliment, but every father is a Joseph. And religion has made them into saints and martyred them and put halos on their heads and rich clothing on their bodies. And hey, that's cool. That's cool. But you see, the moment any of us ever start to worship anybody, we're dead. Because we cease to exist as ourselves. And the moment we start to worship ourselves, we're dead. The moment we start to think we are very good and that none of our stuff smells, you know, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because you're not going to be yourself. What does a worshipful being do? They are worshipful. They are a being who people worship. And when people worship a being, then that being has to live up to what the people are worshiping it for. And so if they worship it for being just a great governmental person, if they worship it for being a great spiritual leader, if they worship it for anything, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. You know, history is a very ugly thing because history likes to look at the clay feet of the worshipful masters, of the great ones. And history, reporters and people have nothing better to do, they research out Napoleon and find out how he died of poisoning and how he died of whatever things he died of, or how some great ruler died of syphilis, or how some great ruler died of this or that or the other thing. How some great ruler stopped. If that person did enough to be called great, leave him alone. Leave him alone. You don't need to exhume him and find out what caused his... They looked at Napoleon, and they were studying his hair, and they found arsenic and other things in his hair because the hair did not disintegrate, and die. And not die, but did not cease to be. And so they were able to take the hairs of Napoleon's head and find out how he was poisoned and with what he was poisoned. And, well, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that one? Did Napoleon do wonderful things as a general and as emperor? Was he a super guy? Did the people believe in him? Did the people follow him? Did he serve a purpose? Is he an icon in history? Let it alone. Let it alone. Now, if they were to exhume the body of Jesus, which wasn't there anymore, what would they find out? Would they find out that he perhaps had two brains? Or maybe that he had seven hearts? You know, this is what they like to say about the Hindus, you know, with their many hearts and their chakras and all these other good things that go through the body. And they play games with the outer symbol so much they lose the interest in the inner symbol. And this is where Jesus had to take off, because people were gaining such an interest in the outer symbol that they were forgetting the inner symbol. Oh, Jesus can do this, and Jesus can heal, and Jesus can raise the dead. And you see, they didn't hear a thing he said. They didn't hear a thing he said. He said, it's done unto you according to your belief. Now, you as the practitioner, what do you believe about the person that you're working with? And when they went out to work on healing people, did they believe the person had something to heal? Or did they think of the person as having returned to their original purity and integrity? Did they see the person whole and perfect right then, complete? This is what Jesus taught. But they didn't pay attention to that. They only listened to him and they watched him. And, you know, it's like if you were training to be a surgeon and a brain surgeon, that's always a good one. And so you're training to be a brain surgeon and you're watching this brain surgeon who is a genius, who's absolutely wonderful, and you watch what he does. You don't know what he's doing. You will never know what he is doing. He is using his intuitive self as he touches those neurons and those brain axioms and all those things that are going on in the brain. You will never know. Now, why? Why did he miss cutting something which would have caused the man to no longer be, you know, sane? How could he go in and touch those delicate membranes, and how could he work on it? Well, he believed he was going to do a thing with the brain. And he went in and did a thing with the brain. He did not think he was going to be, it was dangerous that he might accidentally cut something he shouldn't cut. He wasn't worried about that. Do you understand? If he were worried about it, then that would be the first thing they would cut wrong, you know? And then you can't blame him, because who knows what he's doing? Who knows what he's doing? He doesn't even know. He listens intuitively to the divine within him, guiding him to be a brain surgeon. Now, we want to listen intuitively within ourselves to realize that we are a top-notch brain surgeon. We are a top-notch practitioner. We are a top-notch divine being. And the only way we can do that is when we begin to take responsibility for our thought. It has nothing to do with our actions. Our actions follow our thought. But you cannot make your actions right and your thoughts wrong. Because your thoughts, your actions ultimately will always follow your thoughts, whatever they may be. And so we want our thoughts to be so pure, so perfect, so wonderful, so dynamic, and so effective that nothing else matters. What is it? Now tell me, answer this question quickly before I take it away from you. What is it that big industries want to have in their industrial complex to make money? What do they want? They want a thought, think, tank. They want a think tank. They want a place where people can go and play with their brains and play with their thoughts. And play with their ideas, and play with their dreams, and play with their imagination. They have a think tank. Now, do they have a think tank? They do, but do they have a think tank for people who are working with mechanical gadgets? Do they have a think tank for people who are working with ideas for developing the business? Do they have a think tank for people who are working on increasing the profit structure of the business? Do they have a think tank for all that stuff? Do they? They have one think tank. And the people go into that think tank. And they think. They think about whatever it is that interests them. They don't need to have mechanical gadgets to manipulate to encourage their thinking. They don't need to have the bookkeeping books in front of them to encourage their thinking. They go way out. They go beyond all the physical, all the mental, all the actual that they are experiencing. They move on into other dimensions virtually. Now, Scientists like to use the term, there are advanced civilizations out on other planets and other star systems and so forth. And those advanced planets, those advanced people would come to Earth and would help us do things. And they want to take control of us, you know, like many of the movies of science fiction show. And really, if those people were advanced people, what would be their most enjoyable thing to do? What would be the most enjoyable thing for an advanced person to do?
Stay out of sight and be alone.
To share his advancement with others.
Oh, yes.
Stay out of sight, in other words, not work themselves to death, but just share their death. You see, this is where these crazy people that we have in our humanity are. This crazy Bach, this crazy Beethoven, this crazy Mozart, this crazy Michelangelo, they're absolutely insane. They are not living normal lives. They are living on another dimension. They are tuned into the divine within them, which enlightens them, illumines them, and reveals them. And they have to write their music. They have to paint their pictures. They have to do their sculpting. They have to do whatever they do. And some men have to be fathers. They just have to have babies. And some women have to have babies. They don't want fathers. They have babies without getting married, and they raise their babies without getting married. They want to raise their children the way they want to raise them, and they have a good job, they earn plenty of money, and they raise their kid as a single parent. Now, I'm not saying that's good, that's bad. I'm just saying they have this motivation within them to do something, and because it's a motivation that is so strong and perhaps pure, so strong and so beautiful that nothing can keep them from it. They go out and do it. Now, do you think that a pope starts out being a pope? Sure does. He starts out right away, right from the get-go, saying, I'm number one. And what is the pope but number one, you know? I'm number one. And as he goes through his various stages of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, he's always number one. He's not superior to somebody else, but he's number one. And everybody recognizes that this guy's got something going for him. And I don't want to run for being pope at the same time he's running, because he's got everything going for him. You understand? And the cardinals who are appointed cardinals, and the bishops who are appointed bishops, and the people who are appointed to all these posts, how do they get there? They're recommended by somebody, you know? Somehow they get themselves on the right side of the boss, and they're made into those positions. Now, you take people who are president of the United States or any other country. How do they get to be president? They have some drive within them for excellence, not necessarily to be president, but to share with the world their magnificence. And that magnificence has to go right to the top. That magnificence just has to be utterly amazing. You and I, we are not sitting here in this small group of people for no reason at all. We're here because we are ready to recognize our illumination. We're illumined. We're all illumined. There's no getting around that. Now, do you recognize that you're illumined? Do you recognize that everything you set your thought to, click, 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 falls right into place? Everything. Everything you set your mind to, click, 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 falls right into place. Why? Because you are an illumined one. Because you are one of those who has chosen to work in this area. You say, well, I don't want to be a minister. I don't want to be a priest. I don't want to be a spiritual leader. I don't want to be these things. You are. There's nothing you can do about it. You are. This is your nature. That's why you're probing into understanding spiritual illumination. That's why you're looking into being master of yourself. That's why you're looking to see that you are not touched by anything else in the world. That's why you're looking after being that very sacred thing, which everybody is, but very few people recognize. everybody is, but very few people recognize, and that is unconditional love. You are unconditional love, and you don't want to take admission for it, because if you take admission for being unconditional love, you know what that does to you? That you cannot have one dirty thought about anybody, one limiting thought about anybody, especially yourself. You cannot have one thought in your mind that says it can't be done. You cannot have one thought in your mind that's unfulfilled. If they put you in their think tank, the think tank would burst. And you know there are a lot of people who, in a think tank, the think tank bursts. It just becomes it's not big enough. It's not big enough for the dreams, the imagination, the magic that they have in their minds. And this is who you are. This is who you are. Each one of you are here for that reason. Ingeborg says, well, I'm getting old, you know, and I'm, you know, past 25 and I'm over the hill and I'm not really going to do anything. Well, Ingeborg, you're not here because you're here to die. You're here because you're here to live. You're here because you're here to be that fantastic spiritual being that you are. And if you ever, ever whisper in my ear that you can't do something, I'll kick your butt so hard you'll fly across the room. So be careful. You can do anything. And if you ever tell yourself you can't, you're trying to weasel out of doing it. You can. You can do anything. All of you can. You can do anything. There's nothing that is limiting to you. And the only thing that is limiting you, if anything is limiting to you, is the thought that it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of bother. People come up to me about the University of Healing, and they have ideas for helping it grow and improving it and so on. And I say, great, thank you very much. You're the chairman of the committee. Take over. You're the chairman of the board. You're the boss. Oh, no. You see, they come up with ideas, but to carry them out, that takes responsibility. That takes the doing it. That takes really believing in it. That's not just being a dilettante talking about ideas as though you're just playing, what do they call it, back...
Monopoly.
What?
Monopoly?
No. That's like you're playing war games, you know, from your rocking chair. What do they say, these... rocking chair generals, you know, who tell how to run the war from the rocking chair. And they don't want to get involved. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to be a patent. They don't want to be right out on the battlefield. And that's good, too. I would like to have all of our generals have rocking chairs and have chessboards, and they play their game of war on their chessboard, and when the one who wins, he wins, and the one who loses, he loses. And that's it. And think of how much money that would save. And how many lives that would save. My goodness sake, wouldn't that be a wonderful way to run a war? But who needs to have any aggression even in that area? Now, just remember this. You have within you the ability to do anything you want to do. And you know it. You know it. You have the ability within you to take any dream that you could ever imagine for yourself and fly with it. You have within you the ability to be before people and be respected and be honored as long as you respect and honor yourself. If you don't respect and honor yourself, then nobody's going to respect and honor you. It's not because you're not respectful and honorable, but because people look at you and they say, you must know what you're talking about. You're inside there. If you don't respect and honor yourself, then you're not respectful and honorable, even though you truly are. You see, this is how it goes. This is how it goes. But you see, we have a very precious role to play in life. And that role is listening within and following what it says. Listening within and following what it says. Listening within and following what it says. It's not only listening within, that's good, but it's following what it says. When you listen within and you hear the divine in you say, hey, go and bake a cake. You say, what's this got to do with anything, you know? So you go in the kitchen and you bake a cake. And then You say, what kind of frosting shall I put on? Oh, I'll definitely put chocolate frosting on there. So you put chocolate frosting on this beautiful chocolate cake, and it's maybe a Black Forest cake, you know, lovely, creamy, rich beyond imagination. And you, yes, Gertrude, and you make the cake, and after you've made the cake, you say, okay, now I made this cake, now who's going to eat the darn thing? You know, it's going to be so rich, and so I can't eat it myself, you know, and I don't want my grandkids to eat it, and I don't want my friends to eat it, because, you know, they'll be too much. And then you say, ah, yes, Dr. Barley is coming. We will have it for him. Why did you make that cake? Because I thought it. I thought it, and you were tuned in. You said, what should I do for Herb when he comes here? What little thing, what little gift would I want to give him that says that I love him and so forth? What am I going to do? And so you say, oh, I know. I'm going to bake him a chocolate cake with chocolate frosting, with chocolate ice cream, and with dark chocolate bars all around it. And you say, my gosh, that poor guy, what's he going to do, you know? All that goody-goody stuff around him. Well, you see, when you like yourself, you don't say, well, I don't want to feed that to him, he'll get too fat, you know. I don't want to feed that to him, it'll make him sick. I don't want to feed that to him, it'll do whatever it'll do, you know. You just do it. And then you let him decide how much he wants to eat, you see. If you start deciding how you're going to let the divine in you come forth, you got a problem. Can you imagine deciding that you are Mozart and that you're only going to play waltzes, you're only going to compose waltzes, you're not going to compose anything else? Wouldn't he be stifled? Mm-hmm. Boy, what did he all create? He created operas, he created concert, he created symphonies, he created all sorts of beautiful things. He created this simple little piano concertos and so on. He created many beautiful things, but just a master. Now, to say no, you know, just waltzes, that's all, Mozart, anything else other than that goes in the trash. Just waltzes. But, you know, you cannot limit him. And you cannot limit yourself. You have within you the illumination, the desire to express in certain beautiful ways that are unique to you. Now, are you ready to express those things? Are you ready to get up and let go and be yourself and have fun? Are you ready to follow your inner illumination? If you do, then man, have you got it for yourself. Have you got it going? It's an exciting adventure to do something like that. You know that. It's an exciting adventure to follow your heart. It's an exciting adventure to let go and let the divine in you show. But you cannot say, this is what I am, this is what I do. You do it. You think it. The men who went into the think tanks of the various industries, did they have any idea what they were going to come up with? They hoped they would come up with some things, but those things they didn't come up with, you know. Right, Ellen?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they had a doubt.
Hope is a doubt, and they had a doubt, and so they didn't come up with those things. But now, those people who went into that think tank and said, oh, let's see, how can I be absolutely crazy insane today? What stupid thing that society would love to have and it doesn't have, and how would I bring it to it? Okay, let's bring fuel to society so that it can drive any type of vehicle it wants to drive, and it will never deplete the resources of the earth. What kind of fuel would that be? Well, hydrogen, and then oxygen, and air, and water, and stuff. Oh my goodness. Okay, so what is the most accessible substance available? Hydrogen would be, if you could have it accessible, it's there in compound, but it's not there singly. Now, oxygen, same thing, you know, it's a bother to get it. Oh, water, hey, wouldn't that be a great eternal fuel? But You can't throw a match on water and have it burn, you know. Yeah, that's true. Well, how are you going to make water be something that is going to work in an internal combustion engine? Well, maybe I have to design an engine that will burn water, that will utilize water to give me combustion, to give me power. Now, how would I do that? And then you start thinking, And then the next thing you know, you have an engine that works on air. And so you take the air from the air and you put it in your tank, and then your engine works on air. Not even water, not even anything. And it's kind of nice. You have a pressure tank. No. And you have a pressure tank and you're just going great. Now, how do you get to that stage? You do not think limitation. You do not say we're running out of fossil fuels. You do not say that we're polluting our atmosphere with the type of fuels that we're using today, and the Greenpeace is having also. You don't go into the negatives. You just say, let's see. I don't really care whether it pollutes the atmosphere. I don't care whether it does it uses up our fossil fuels. I don't care what it does. I want to come up with some beautiful fuel for locomotion or engines or whatever we call it. And I want it to be something fabulous, something so inexpensive and so wonderful. And so you come up with it. But you're stupid. You come up with it and you don't know how to handle it into the engine. You don't know how to use it where it can be used. So then what do? You talk with somebody who does know how. And they say to you, oh, that's nothing. Just put a valve, a butterfly valve on it, a switch here and a switch here, and it'll work perfectly. Ooh, boy. So you take that thought and you do not put a butterfly valve on it. You do not put a switch on it. You put something entirely different and new and even more beautiful, because that is designed to work on things that function. You understand? You're designing something to work on things that don't function. Something brand new, something spectacular. And so you come up with it. Well, this is how the divine works in us. This is what happens when we let go and let the divine in us work. Now, can we experience that? Can we know that? Can we have it? We're doing it all the time. We're doing it all the time. We're experiencing that. We're knowing that. We're loving it. And we're doing it all the time. So, you see, when we say, Jesus said, I must be off so that I can leave you guys. How did he say that? I am off to another adventure. Let the Comforter come to y'all. I'm off to another adventure. What other adventure could Jesus be off to? Who knows? Who cares? Have you ever seen a little child drawing pictures? And have you, in your innocent ignorance, gone up and said, what is it? And they said, well, it's you, or it's mommy, or it's daddy, or it's a horse, or it's a mountain, or it's a house. And, oh, of course I should have recognized that, you know. And it doesn't look any more like the horse, or house, or mommy, or daddy, or you, or anybody in the man in the moon. But they believe it. Now, is it that representation? Yes, it is. Is it real for them? Yes, it is. Is it real for you? Yes, it is. When will we open our minds and hearts so that we can see that which we think is foolishness that a child might do? That we can see what he has in his mind? Well, all we do is say, I am one as all. And then we understand. I am one as all. I am one as all. When you say that, then you are one as all. And you know what this kid has in his mind. And you can go around the kindergarten and see all the children there and see all of them drawing indescribable things. And they will tell you what it is. And you'll say, well, of course, of course. You see, the infinite imagination is available to all of us. The infinite wisdom is available to all of us. The infinite genius of the universe is available to all of us. It is not a genius that is complete. It is not a genius that is fulfilled. It is a genius that just exists. You see, a genius that is fulfilled presumes to be itself. A genius that just is everything. And we want to be the genius that is everything, the oneness, the allness. And so as we do things, it's really quite spectacular how it works out. Quite remarkable. I like this aspect of it, and I think living in the idea of the genius, living in the idea of the magic of being what Jesus did and being what we are is exciting. Okay, so you graduate from this class, and you go on, and you're a genius, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, and you leave here, and you look around, and you see the people that are walking around you. And you say to yourself, aren't they interesting? And then, because you are illumined, you jump into their mind. Now, you're not interested in their dumb thoughts. You're not interested in their needs or wants or desires or hopes or whatever. You're not interested in that at all. All you're interested in is what their illumined brain cells can dream of. And then you go in there and you play with them. And you act like a catalyst to them. And you cause them to sparkle. You cause them to illumine that inner self. And when you cause them to do that, what happens? What happens is that they are illumined. What happens is that they begin to sparkle. And because you did it. Now, that is a very high level possibility. Let's take the low level possibility. We talked about the other day, the mother who remembered her son was at war and had a feeling the son was in great danger. And the mother said, I surround you with my pure white light of love. All your ways are peace and all your paths are pleasantness. And just at that moment, the Japanese torpedoes that were going under the battleship went choing, 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 and missed the ship entirely. Now, can that be done? Is that a consciousness that can be put into motion? Is that a cause that can be put into motion? Even if she didn't know what was going on and where he was. She didn't know what reference of war he was in. She wasn't allowed to know that, except where her mail went. And there she knew the FBO in San Francisco or in New York. But you see, that just gave an indication to her of where her son might be in the vast hemispheres. So she had this thought, and this thought translated itself into action, and the torpedoes missed the ship. Now you say, man, if that could happen so easily. Hey, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. She was 100 million zillion percent in favor of her son. She was 100% looking at her son saying, he's whole and perfect. She is grounded in that belief that when she speaks her word, it is done. And that's kind of nice. Now, we can do that. We do that. And we have a lot of fun doing it, except we don't take credit for it. We don't take credit for it. We say, oh, I wish it wouldn't rain today, and then it doesn't rain, and you forget all about it, and not even thinking that you wished it wouldn't rain. Oh, I wish it would rain today, and you forget that you put the cause in motion as you're running across the yard, and you're saying, oh, why does it have to get all wet now? Why is it raining? And you put the cause in motion. And we do these things. You see, this is how, when you are an illumined being, you are aware of what you're doing. And that's what we want to be. We want to be aware. As Jesus left so the Comforter can come, the Comforter is the awareness. The Comforter is the illumination. The Comforter is our oneness with all. And that's beautiful. There's where she goes. There's where she is. And that's where you are. So, my loves, are there any questions? Who could ask questions after that? So, have a wonderful afternoon, and know that you're beautiful. You're raising your finger?
No, not
until I shut off the mic, huh? Yeah, I figured as much. Okay, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.